قول الإمام الترمذي هذا حديث حسن صحيح يقابل الصحيح لغيره، صحيح لغيره، قوله حسن غريب يقابل الحسن لذاته، قوله حسن يقابل الحسن لغيره، قوله غريب يقابل الحديث الضعيف. فهذه خمس اصطلاحات مقابل خمس تقسيمات للعلماء، هذا الراجح وقد يشد عنها بعض الشيء، لكن لكل قاعدة شواذ.
الشيخ حفظه الله then continues.
اكتب لهم اياها.
The Sheikh Habibullah then continues in discussing with us the terminology that Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi institutes in discussing what is a Hasan Hadith in his book. And this is an important point, that what you will see on the board now, this is what Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi uses in his own Sunan. And the Sheikh gave us the scheme of how the scholars of Hadith in their respective disciplines view his understanding of the breakage of the classifications of hadith. The Sheikh mentions it's important to note that the scholars have differed amongst themselves in how they interpret the words of At-Tirmidhi in his classifications that he uses in his Sunan, as much as they have differed as to the difference of what is a Hasan hadith compared to a Da'if and so forth. So, Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi uses his own scheme, and it is only found in his Sunan. So this is the Sunan, we will break the board in two. This is what is found in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. He lists five levels. The first level is a Hasan صحيح غريب حديث. This is the most authentic hadith found in the books of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. According to the other scholars of hadith, they have their own classification. This is what the other scholars equate to being that of an Imam al-Tirmidhi. The other scholars, they state this as being صحيح لذاته. Then al-Imam al-Tirmidhi states,
أو في اصطلاح آخر صحيح غريب. صحيح غريب.
طيب.
في الدرجة الأولى. حسن صحيح غريب.
Another mode of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, instead of Hasan, Sahih Gharib, at times he will also say, he will just keep it as Sahih Gharib. That is also used by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi. The next classification is that he will say something that is Hasan, Sahih. A hadith that is Hasan and Sahih, and this equates, as the scholars assess, as being Sahih لغيره. The third classification is where Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi will say Hasan غريب. Which equates to being Hasan لذاته. He then states a hadith that is Hasan, which is number 4. A Hasan hadith to Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi is a hadith that is equated to being a hadith that is Hasan لغيره. According to the other scholars. And finally, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi states a hadith that is غريب. which means and is equated to being a ضعيف by the other scholars. غريب means it is a scarce hadith. حسن means it is a good hadith. And the word صحيح means it is a acceptably authentic. We will use the word authentic hadith. You know what لذاته means? By itself. Or it does not need a witness. لغيره. Due to an effect. Or needing witness.
ثم ذكر الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله مراتب الحديث الحسن، فقال: فأعلى مراتب الحديث الحسن كما ذكرنا أن هناك أعلى درجات الصحة أو الأسانيد المحكوم عليها بأنها أصحش الأسانيد، هناك أسانيد محكوم عليها بأنها أحسن الأسانيد، ومنها رواية بهز بن حكيم عن أبيه عن جده، ورواية عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده، وغيرها ممن ذكره الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا يقول عنه القسم متجاذب بين الصحة والحسن، فبعض الحفاظ يصححونها وبعض الحفاظ يحسنونها، ولا مشاحة في الاصطلاح، لأنهم إن أرادوا الصحة فهو في أدنى درجاتها، وإن أرادوا الحسن فهو قسم مستقل. ثم هناك أمثلة متنازعة، وهي الحسن لغيره. الحسن لغيره أي هو الضعيف الذي جاء من وجه آخر، كما قلنا في الصحيح لغيره الحسن الذي جاء من وجه آخر، فالحسن لغيره الضعيف الذي جاء من وجه آخر. نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله now mentions to us, as you have seen, that a Hassan hadith is that which less than an authentic, higher than a weak hadith. The highest level of the Hassan hadith, for just like how we mentioned to you that the Sahih hadith there are levels in it, also the Hassan hadith there are levels. There are Hassan hadith that are at the lowest level, and there are Hassan hadith that are at the highest level.
أرسل لهم صحيح يعني إن الحسن لغيره لذاته هو أعلى المراتب حسن لغيره.
درو سوي لهم أنت. امسح حاجة شوي.
Have the brothers and the sisters copied this down? I will take off the top of the chart. I think it's easier to understand if I
wink in the...
Thank you.
تفصيل.
This is why I make these things.
Very weak. I witnessed that is due to severe weakness. The Sheikh Hafizahullah, he drew up a schematic diagram for you so that you can see the Hadith al-Nabawi that is Ahad, singular chain, that you could see its structure. There are three. No. He did not involve the mutawatir in it, as you see it here. You see the three main degrees and categories of the Hadith. There is the Sahih, the Hasan in the middle, and the Da'if. The Sahih Hadith is broken into two parts. The Hadith that is Sahih li dhati, a Hadith that is Sahih by itself, in and of itself. It does not need a witnessing chain. And then there is the sahih that is lighted. They are both sahih hadith. The third or the middle category, which is the hasan hadith, is a hadith that can also be broken down into two parts. A hadith that is hasan li dhati, hadith that is hasan in and of and by itself, doesn't need witnessing chains, and a hadith that is hasan li ghayri, a hadith that is in need of a witnessing chain. And this will be explained down here inshaAllah. The third category is a hadith that is da'if. A da'if hadith is also broken into. A da'if hadith yushtashhadu bihi, a hadith that is da'if that can be used as a witness. And then there is a hadith that is da'if wahin jiddan, very weak and therefore cannot be used as a witness. And we will explain this when we discuss the da'if hadith. Here the sheikh shows you a schematic equation of how a hasan hadith and how two hasan hadith can come together to make a hadith that is sahih li ghayri. I will use the letter H with a subscript S, hasan plus another hasan. These are hasan li dhati, a hadith that is hasan li dhati plus a hadith that is hasan li dhati in and of itself, by itself, two narrations that are authentic, that do not need witnesses for their own validity. This one, if you leave it by itself, it is hasan li dhati. It doesn't need help. It's not a da'if hadith or anything of that nature. A hasan li dhati plus a hasan li dhati equals sahih li ghayri. Equally, the Sheikh gives us another equation where he mentions to us a da'if that can be used, a da'if that is acceptable, plus another da'if that is acceptable can equal and produce, the scholars would equate that to being a hadith that is hasan li ghayri. And as such, you see how the chains can come together. It doesn't only have to be two chains. At times there can be 50 chains, more chains. And the more chains there are, the stronger the hadith becomes and the higher in level it rises. This is a hadith that is da'if yet acceptable. Yustashhadu bihi, can be used as a witness. A hadith that is da'if.
You said two of them?
Yes. Da'if, mithlu. Da'if that is accepted, and a hadith that is weak that is also accepted. Two weak hadith that are acceptable to use as witnesses. They can be witnesses for one another, producing a hasan hadith li ghayri. نعم حسن لذاتي وحسن لذاتي حسن لذاتي plus حسن لذاتي الصحيح لغيره
أو ضعيف يشهد
يستشهد
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 نعم We will switch the board over as we are progressing. Also, we see that the Sheikh also mentioned that if you were to have a hadith that is da'if, that is acceptable, if you were to have a hasan hadith li dhati plus a hadith that is da'if yustashhad, that is acceptable, it would also and can produce a sahih hadith.
Have the Prophet got it on this side yet? Who hasn't got it on that side?
Yes.
Wahin, yeah. Wahin. With a noon. With a noon. Wahin jiddan.
يبقى لنا 10 دقائق مع الإخوة إن شاء الله.
لا ما تأخرنا.
نأخذ أسئلة ولا أول نكمل.
تأخرنا حضرتك.
ساعة ونص
بس.
نكمل. نكمل.
عشر. حقنا.
هم وهم في.
حتى نكمل بارك الله فيك. ما ندري ما
ندري. لغاية الساعة 10 ونص. نكمل.
قول ما شاء الله example explain the idea.
نعم
حمد الله.
We have got it on this side.
بقي عندنا ملاحظات أو تتميمات على الحديث الحسن. أولها أن الحديث الحسن كالصحيح في الاحتجاج به وإن كان دونه في القوة. نعم الحديث الحسن دون الصحيح في القوة لكنه يحتج به في الأحكام والعقيدة أيضا. الأمر الثاني أن الحسن نوعان، حسن لذاته وحسن لغيره، حسن لذاته وحسن لغيره، وأن الحديث الحسن لغيره هو ما كان ضعيفا في أصله لكن يستشهد به ثم جاء له شاهد أو متابع مثله في الضعف أي يستشهد به فيصير مثله فيصير حسنا لغيره أي يستدل به ويحتج به. وهذه قاعدة مهمة يا إخواني، تقوية الحديث بالشواهد والمتابعات، تقوية الحديث بالمتابعات والشواهد قاعدة مهمة، والإعراض عنها سبب في هدم سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك في هذا العصر خرج قوم ابتدعوا بدعة جديدة فقالوا تلبيسا على العامة وتلبيسا على المبتدئين طلاب العلم، هناك منهج المتقدمين وهناك منهج المتأخرين، يعني أن المتأخرين هم الذين يقوون الحديث الضعيف بمثله بالشواهد والمتابعات، وأن المتقدمين ليسوا كذلك، وهذا ابتداع في الدين ومخالفة لسبيل المؤمنين. فقد سئل شيخنا رحمه الله عن هذا التفريق ذات يوم فقرأ قول الله سبحانه وتعالى ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا، أي أن الذي يقول بذلك مخالف لسبيل المؤمنين من أهل الحديث وعلماء الحديث. وأدل دليل على أن الضعيف يتقوى بمثله قول الله تبارك وتعالى واستشهدوا شهيدين من رجالكم فإن لم يكونا رجلين فرجل وامرأتان ممن ترضون من الشهداء. ثم علل الله سبحانه وتعالى لماذا لم يقتصر على امرأة واحدة، قال أن تضل إحداهما، أي تخطئ فتذكر إحداهما الأخرى. فالمرأة ضعيفة والمرأة الأخرى ضعيفة، فضعيف زائد ضعيف يعني قوي يحتج به ويستشهد به. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah says, in the study of the Hassan Hadith, we must also mention a few important points and clarify them. The first point that the Sheikh wishes to mention is that a Hassan, and these are principles that you should write down and note, a Hassan Hadith is equal to a Sahih Hadith as being used as a proof for al-ihtijaj or as a legislative source. It is the same in strength for using as a proof as a Sahih Hadith. A Hassan Hadith and a Sahih Hadith are equal to each other to use them as a proof for legislation, whether in Ahkam or in Aqeedah. So they are equal. Then the Shaykh says another important point to mention and point out to you is that the Hadith that is Hassan is of two types. We introduce that to you with al-hasan li-dhatih wal-hasan li-ghayrih. A hadith that is hasan li-dhatih is that which has a continuous chain. Write this down. A hadith that is hasan li-dhatih is a hadith that has a continuous chain that is through reliable reporters. The chain is comprised of reliable, trustworthy reporters, without any irregularities or defects. So that those are the first four conditions of a Sahih Hadith. And therefore, it is also, if there are many narrations, all of them witnessing to one another, إِذَا تَعَدَّدَتْ فُرُقُهُ, if there are many narrations witnessing to one another, then it is to be strengthened to a hadith that is sahih لغيره, a hadith that is sahih due to the witnesses of other narrations. Why is this important? The Shaykh paused here and says, this shows you that it is not just a hadith that is hasan and it can't be deemed more authentic if there is strength. There is now a movement who are of heretics and people of bid'ah who make a claim, a false claim, wherein they state that it is only the past and the old scholars, the scholars of the ancient times, who would strengthen a hadith with reports, with witnessing chains. But the contemporary scholars of hadith, meaning that those who now know and have more knowledge of hadith, they do not accept witnessing chains to strengthen a hadith from a hasan to a sahih. The Shaykh mentions that an incident occurred where Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, as they were present, was asked about this. Those who state that al-muta'akhirin, the olden day scholars, are the only ones that used to accept this, now the present day contemporary scholars shouldn't accept witnessing to strengthen a narration. Shaykh al-Albani responded to this claim by reciting from the Quran, those who oppose and contradict the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow a path till the end of the ayah, and follow a path other than the path of al-mu'mineen, follow a path other than the path of the true believers, meaning those who came before them and were steadfast upon the faith, the salaf, they're scholars of ancient times. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى, we shall give them what they seek and we shall distance them, and they are those who are opposing the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have no proof in it. The Shaykh then gives you proof from the Quran that two weak reports can equal an authentic report. Allah mentions in the Quran in regards to business contracts that if you are going to give witness to loan documents or business contracts, that you are to present two male witnesses. And if you don't have two male witnesses and you have female, you can bring one male and two female. Why? Allah mentions in the ayah, أَنْتَ ضِلَّ إِحْدَاهُمَا. It may be that one of the women will forget what had transpired or the amount. Meaning her narration, her memory is weak, ضعيف. فَتُذَكِّرُهَا. The other one who will be a witness to her, since they were both narrating the same thing, narrating the same event, will witness this weak person's narration and strengthen it to become equal to an authentic narration. So it shows you that this false claim that we can't strengthen the ahadith by gathering narration is vanquished with proof from the Quran quite easily. Are there any questions that you have regarding what has been discussed with you today? No.
What, he'll bring them in.
If the sisters have got questions, can they write quickly and someone's going to come and collect them, bismillah. Stand.
You mentioned that what makes hadith hasan is that all four conditions are met except for some of the narrators are weaker than the sahih
weak
hadith.
Weak in memory,
yeah. How do you contrast that with the fact that Ibn Mubarak said, do not accept hadith except from the fiqah?
From the
fiqah.
طيب ذكرت من الحديث الحسن فيه شروط الحديث الصحيح إلا في الضبط. فكيف نزن ذلك بكلام شيخ الشيخ عبد الله بن المبارك أن نأخذ الروايات من الثقات أن نظن هو مفهوم. طيب.
أيضا ما قلنا هذه الأشياء تتفاوت فيما بينها، صحة تتفاوت، هناك أعلى مراتب الصحة، هناك أدنى مراتب الصحة، اليقين، هناك أعلى مراتب اليقين، هناك أدنى مراتب اليقين، حتى الإيمان، هناك كمال الإيمان، هناك أصل الإيمان، حتى الثقة يتفاوتون فيما بينهم، وهناك ثقة إيمان، مثل الإمام مالك، هناك ثقة دونه ثقة، هناك صدوق، الصدوق هو ثقة، لكن في حفظه ضعف، في حفظه ضعف. فهذا يدخل بارك الله فيك في باب الثقات دخولا عاما وليس دخولا خاصا.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, we have mentioned to you yesterday that there are different levels inside vast categories. We mentioned to you that, for example, in Iman there are different levels of faith. Not everyone is equal in faith. We also mentioned to you that in yaqeen, being certain, there are different levels of being certain. Certain with your own eyes is not certain as hearing something, or certain by receiving a report. As well, being fiqah, or being a trusted or a trustworthy source, is also something that is of varying levels. There are those who are fiqah according to the level of al-Imam Malik, highest level of being trusted and acceptable, fiqah. Then there are levels of those who are beneath him, until you reach the levels of those who are saduq, those who are honest in their report, but they aren't at the level of an Imam Malik. They are saduq and they are thiqah, but they have a deficiency in their precision and in their memory. That does not remove them from the general collective body of the thiqat. So therefore, the one who is accepted as being a narrator in the hasan, in the general understanding, he is thiqah. But what does this thiqah mean? Is he at the higher or the lower part? It is based on his own level as assessed by the scholars of al-Islam.
I just wanted to ask, you said the Hasan al-Dhati had four conditions. What about Hasan al-Ghayrihi? Or is that to come from other side?
بالنسبة للحسن لذاتي ذكرت من الشروط الصحيح الأربعة لازم تكون موجودة إلا الضبط. أهل نفس الشروط للحديث الحسن لغيره؟
لا، الحديث الحسن لغيره ضعيف، فيه رجل ضعيف، لكن ضعفا ليس قويا. ذلك فرق العلماء بين الضعف القوي الذي يسقط الراوي مثل يقول عنه متروك، وبين إنسان ضعيف ضعف فيه سوء حفظ، أو الحديث فيه انقطاع، ثم يأتي الحديث من طريق أخرى أو شاهد له ضعيف، لكن ضعيف مثله. ينجبر. لكن ضعيف زائد ضعيف ضعيف على ضعيف بيصبح ايش؟ قوي. حسن لكنه حسن ليس لذاته، حسن لغيره، أي صار حسنا بسبب غيره، بسبب مجيء شاهد أو متابع له من غيره. نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله answers this important question by saying the hadith that is حسن لغيره does not meet the conditions of the صحيح, does not meet those four conditions, because the hadith that is حسن لغيره in fact are two or more weak narrations that support one another, but the weakness of these narrations is not weakness that deems them incapable of being witnesses. Meaning there is a weak narration that a person in the chain is deemed matruk, abandoned. That narration you cannot use as a witness. But there are other weak narrations where the people will say he used to make mistakes, he was a person who had a low memory or a deficiency in his memory, wasn't precise. Such a person, if you find another chain of narration that complements this deficiency and erases it, those two weak narrations can raise it to become to the level of hasan lighayri. So it does not meet the four levels or the levels of the sahih. It has its own specific constrictions. Inshallah, I add to the words of the Shaykh that tomorrow when we do the da'if, that will become more clear.
Inshallah.
Naam,
inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
We've got a lot of Hizbut Tahrir, Al-Mahaj and other groups, and none of them, they say the difference between the Hadith Ahad and Mutawatir. I wanted to ask the Sheikh, to his knowledge, I was told that Sahih al-Jami of Bukhari and Muslim, very, very few hadith in there are mutawatir. The majority are ahad. Does the Sheikh know roughly, like a percentage, how many hadith in Bukhari are actually ahad? Is it majority or what have you?
أكثر كتب هل أكثر كتاب أكثر الأحاديث الموجودة في كتاب البخاري ومسلم هل أكثرها أحاديث أحاد أو متواترة؟
معظمها, the majority of the ahadith that are found in Bukhari and Muslim are ahad narrations, and in general most of the ahadith are ahad. Most of the sunnah al-qawliya, the narrations that are based on oral traditions, are in the vast majority, most of the narrations are ahad, not mutawatir.
So these hizbs are putting doubt, dhan, they're saying that the most of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is dhanni. This is what they're saying in reality.
فهؤلاء الأحزاب مثل حزب التحرير وغيرهم يزعمون أن السنة يعني ظنية. مش قطعي. نعم.
ذكرت بالأمس أني رددت على حزب التحرير وأمثاله الذين يردون حديث الأحاد في كتاب اسمه خبر الأحاد أو الأدلة والشواهد, وهو موجود منه بعض النسخ, ممكن يعني من يعرف العربية يقرأه إن شاء الله. أقول إن الظن كلمة من الأضداد, يعني في اللغة العربية من الأضداد, يعني تعني الشك أو الظن الراجح وتعني اليقين, تعني اليقين. مثال, يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا ربهم, فهنا الظن بمعنى إيش؟ اليقين والاعتقاد, لأن هذه عقيدة في اليوم الآخر, عقيدة, فاستخدم الظن مع إيش؟ العقيدة. وظنوا أنهم لا ملجأ وظنوا أن لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه, عقيدة. والذين قال إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابيا, فهي أيضا عقيدة. الآن هل الظن هنا في هذه الآية بمعنى قوله تبارك وتعالى يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس؟ ليس. هنا ظن بمعنى الظن الراجح الذي يترقى حتى يصل إلى اليقين, وهناك الظن المرجوح الذي ينزل وينحط حتى يصل إلى الشك. فإذا كلمة الظن ضدين فيها معنى لغة, ضدين, معنى الظن الراجح والشك, والظن المرجوح والشك, والظن الراجح هو الاعتقاد. ننظر إلى إمارات الحق في الشيء, إذا كانت إمارات الحق أكثر فهو ظن راجح، وإن كانت إمارات الباطل أكثر فهو ظن مرجوح، لأن خبر الأحد فأي الصنفين يضعونه هم، ليس نحن، هم يضعونه في صنف الظن الراجح. لماذا؟ لأنهم يحتكمون إليه في الأحكام الشرعية، فإذا هم يرجحون جانب الاعتقاد به وهو حجة بنص القرآن الكريم. بنص القرآن الكريم مراد هؤلاء الأحزاب وغيرهم هو نفي القاعدة العقدية السلفية أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، فهم يرون رأي المعتزلة والخوارج أن الإيمان لا يزيد ولا ينقص، ولهذا المبدأ الخطأ الخطير بنوا على ذلك قواعد فاسدة مثل ما ذكرنا من هذه القاعدة. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers this question by saying, discussing the issue of dhan, meaning that a person may doubt something, that this word dhan, it is coined up to denote two opposites. A person may use the word dhan, or Allah, as Allah uses in the Quran, the word dhan, at times to be certain of something, and at times to doubt something. At times to be certain of something and at times to doubt something. For example, to be certain of an issue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and those who have dhan, who perceive that they shall return to Allah or that they shall meet Allah. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and perceive that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means that they have the dhan that their return shall eventually be to Allah and that they will receive what they have put forth in matters of deeds. This obviously establishes a aqidah, which nullifies the claim that they are in doubt. How can they be in doubt? يظنون. How can they doubt that they will meet Allah? So therefore that is the one understanding or one way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word dhan. The other way is that there is doubt. This is what the ahzab seek to use to defame the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in fact to establish the madhahib of al-mu'tazila, to nullify the stated fact of aqidah that iman increases and decreases based on one's deeds and based on one's level of iman. They do not believe in this claim. So they will use إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنِ. They will use the understanding where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that people may follow only what they issues of doubt, what they perceive as doubtful issues and things like this, where they should leave these issues off. So they seek to use this ayah that Allah is saying leave off the issues that you are in doubt to mean leaving off the ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are ahad in matters of aqidah. They say since Allah says there are things that if you are in doubt of, leave them off, therefore we leave off all of these ahadith. This is something, a claim that is obviously unacceptable. We look to see what this word dhan, how it is to be understood by the majority, by what the majority of the word implies in a specific instance. So for example, in the instances of the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we are ordered to adhere to the words of Allah, we establish that the dhan is the certainty. It's not that we doubt. It's not that if we are in doubt of the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we leave them. No. It's that we become certain. Meaning that the dhan elevates us to certainty, does not bring us away from certainty. So this is what the Shaykh is trying to say. It's a very difficult topic to translate in such a manner, but inshaAllah, if there are other issues that you wish to cover, we will ask the Shaykh with specifics inshaAllah.
Dealing with the questions from the sisters, and I've seen the brothers. After they've dealt with those questions, I'm going to take from the four brothers who've had their hands up, inshallah. Afwan Iqbal, I've got to be patient, inshallah.
A question from the sister. The Shaykh mentioned that we will end at 10:30, inshallah. We take this question, which is from the sister, one of the sisters. Is it possible for the narration of a woman to be sahih li dhati, or is it automatically needing
a supporting narration due to the need for two female witnesses. Is this condition waived for certain female narrators or not?
بالنسبة للنساء الذين يروون يروون الأحاديث, هل أول هل الأمر أن المرأة تحتاج إلى
شاهد محشر؟
نعم.
هذا يعني سؤال ذكي.
نعم. The Sheikh says this is an intelligent question.
إذا كانت المرأة راوية ومعروفة بالعلم وثقة فإنه مثلها مثل الرجل في الرواية, لكن هناك فرق بين الرواية وبين الشهادة. الآية التي ذكرناها في الشهادة وهذا في الرواية, يعني تجتمع الرواية والشهادة في شيء وتنفصل الرواية عن الشهادة في شيء آخر, لكن معظم أهل الحديث على أن الراوية إذا كانت ثقة تعتمد روايته.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers this question by saying, if the woman is a narrator who is deemed thiqah, she's someone who is trustworthy and she's deemed thiqah by the scholars of hadith, her narration is accepted automatically. It's not deemed to be something that is in needing of witness from others. And there the Sheikh points out that there is a difference between reporting a matter and witnessing a matter. The ayah is in relation to being a witness of a matter. There's a difference in this. But generally speaking, the Sheikh mentioned that the scholars of hadith state that the woman can be, if she is thiqa, her narration is accepted equal to that of a male narrator.
ومن أكبر الأدلة على ما ذكرت أن الصحابيات الجليلات مثل عائشة ومثل فاطمة بنت قيس ومثل أم سلمة ومثل أم عطية وغيرها روت أحاديث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, فلم يشترط العلماء أن تأتي امرأة أخرى وتروي الحديث من نفس طريقها. ومع أن الآية خاطبت, الآية الأولى في سورة البقرة في آية الدين خاطبت الصحابة والصحابيات, فلم يفرقوا الصحابة بين الرجال والنساء في الرواية وفرقوا في الشهادة, وبقية الأمة على أثرهم وعلى منهجهم.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah adds, and he states, we understand this by knowing that many of the women from amongst the Sahaba, especially the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, used to narrate a hadith, and no one ever asked them to bring supporting witness for their claims or for their hadith that they are narrating. So it was deemed that they would be deemed acceptable since they are trusted sources. As well, the Sheikh mentions to you that the Sahaba would never reject the reporting of the women or the Sahabiyat during their times, but when it came to the witnessing of issues regarding and stipulating this ayah that is mentioned to us in the Quran, the ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah that is relevant to debt and loans and things of this nature, then they would establish this law as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs them and us with and by.
وفي هذا القدر
and
طيب تفضل هذا أبو هاجر هذا. نعم.
السلام عليكم شيخ. Just some clarification. Is Hassan Nizatihi, the hadith Hassan Nizatihi, the same as Sahih Lirayrihi until the Sahih gets a witness? And if that's the case, which of the riwayat do you make up to Sahih Lirayrihi? For example, the hadith is Yahminu Hazar Ilm.
No.
Al Hadith al Hassan. الحديث الحسن لذاته is it نعم الحديث الحسن لذاته يساوي الحديث الصحيح لغيره
لا لابد له من شاهد
if it has a witness لو بدون شاهد no it would not be equated to it unless there is a witness to it. طيب لو في أكثر من رواية
حديث حسن لذاته
نعم
حديث حسن لذاته ما حديث حسن لذاته
نعم
قلنا يصيح صحيح لغيره
الاثنين
صحيح لغيره.
نعم. Both of them are raised to the level of صحيح لغيره. I don't understand. What do you mean? Which is raised?
Because you have a narration, and you want to raise it up to the level of صحيح لغيره, and you have some witnessing statements saying it's the same thing. Which of the chains and which book do you say?
أي الروايات ترتقي للصحيح؟ كل الروايات أو يعني وفي أكثر من رواية؟
هذا أمر يعني يرجع إلى المتابعة الشواهد. هناك عند العلماء شاهد تام, هناك شاهد قاصر. هذا يعني إن شاء الله يأتي في نهاية الطلب وليس في بداية الطلب. نحن لا نريد أن نفرع, لأن تفريع المسائل يضعف الفهم, ونحن نؤصل الفهم الآن. تفريع المسائل يا إخواني يضعف حفظك, يضعف فهمك. لذلك لا تفرع قبل أن تؤصل, قبل أن تؤصل وتقوي نفسك في العلم. بارك الله.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying that would be relative to the type of witnessing chain, whether it is a general chain or whether it's a specific chain. And this, in fact, the Sheikh says, that will be at the end of your studies, not at their beginning. So this is something that we do not go into the subsidiary branches until the foundations are laid. So that is a question that we will wait a little while until we answer it, inshallah. Sure.
ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا, من يهده الله فلا مضل له, ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله, وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وشر الأمور محدثاتها, وكل محدثة بدعة, وكل بدعة ضلالة, وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد, يقول الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله: الضعيف, أي الحديث الضعيف, وهو القسم الثالث من أقسام الحديث النبوي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الضعيف ما نقص عن درجة الحسن قليلا, ما نقص عن درجة الحسن قليلا, وهو الحديث الذي فقد شرطا من شروط الصحة ولم يجتمع فيه صفات الحديث الحسن, هذا يسمى ضعيفا.
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah continues with us in the third session in the discussions of hadith, by beginning in the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the praise of Allah, and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and reciting to us a part of Khutbatul Haja. He continued by saying, أما بعد, قال الإمام الذهبي, الإمام الذهبي states, a ضعيف hadith is that which has not reached the level of hasan. A da'if hadith is a hadith that has not reached the level of hasan. As well, it is a hadith that does not comprise and does not have the sifat, the characteristics or the conditions of an authentic or acceptable hadith. It does not have the conditions of an authentic or acceptable hadith, and it does not have the conditions of a hasan hadith. Therefore, a da'if hadith is a hadith that has not reached the level of hasan. It doesn't reach the level of hasan.
It also is a hadith that does not have the same conditions, does not meet the conditions or the attributes that a sahih hadith has, and it does not meet the conditions or the attributes that a hasan hadith has or possesses. That is to be deemed a da'if hadith. What has not reached the level of hasan?
فإذا علمنا هذا فإن الحديث الضعيف فإن الحديث الضعيف لا يحتج به لا في الأحكام ولا في العقائد لا يحتج به في الأحكام وفي العقائد ولا يجوز أيضا الاحتجاج به فيما يسمى فضائل الأعمال فضائل الأعمال.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continued by saying, it's important to note first some principles in dealing with da'if hadith. How do we deal with a da'if hadith? First, a da'if hadith لا يحتج به. It cannot be used as a legislative source or as a proof. A da'if hadith cannot be used as an evidence or a legislative source or as a proof in dealings of aqidah or ahkam, in the regulations of aqidah or in the regulations, the rules and regulations of the ahkam of al-Islam. So therefore a da'if hadith cannot be used as a proof or an evidence in matters of aqidah or in matters of ahkam. As well, a da'if hadith لا يجوز, it is not permitted to narrate it and to discuss it as being a source of benefit for فضائل الأعمال, for deeds that you claim will be deeds that are of a good nature that should be practiced even if they are not substantiated or founded upon an authentic narration. You are not allowed to use the da'if hadith as a proof for issues or dealings such as fada'il al-a'mal, meaning actions that are beneficial to be used, or a certain type of worship, a certain type of worship or things of that nature that are not substantiated with an authentic hadith.
الأمر الثاني أن الحديث الضعيف إذا أردت روايته فلا بد أن تبين ضعفه أو ترويه بصيغة التمريض. تقول روية, صيغة التمريض هي الفعل المبني للمجهول, روية ذكر قيل ولا تذكره بصيغة الجزم, لأن الجزم يعني نسبته إلى الرسول, والحديث الضعيف مرجوح النسبة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله adds, if you are to report a hadith that is ضعيف, you can report it by establishing and stating that it is a weak narration, or indicating this indirectly by mentioning ruwiya, it is narrated, or it has been said, or it has been claimed such and such and such. But you do not state that the messenger or that an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this or this or this. So you can make a narration, but you indicate to those who are listening to it, or who those who receive it from you, that they are to know that this is an unauthentic narration, a weak narration, by having those key statements in the beginning. Ruwiya, it has been reported, or it has been narrated, or it has been claimed, and so forth, as an indication of the weakness of the hadith.
Now, الأمر الثالث أن ضعف الإسناد لا يستلزم ضعف المتن, لأن الإسناد إذا كان ضعيفا ربما جاء له شاهد آخر فتقوى الحديث, تقوى الحديث. نعم.
As well, the Shaykh reminds you that a ضعيف حديث, due to the إسناد being weak, the chain of narration of a hadith may be weak, and therefore that narration, that specific report is deemed weak. That does not mean that the wording of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the words, the text, the matn that is comprised, that comprises this hadith, is weak. Because there may be other narrations that have authentic chains of narration that therefore show that the hadith is sahih or hasan and so forth. I repeat, a hadith that has a weak chain of narration, that does not necessarily mean that the wording of the hadith, the text of the hadith, is weak. That does not mean the matn is weak. The chain of the narration may be weak. That doesn't mean that the hadith, that the matn, the wording of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is weak. What it means is that that particular chain of that particular narration through that chain is weak. There may be other, many other chains of narration. Can you hear? So we repeat once again that a hadith that is da'if, not because the chain of narration is weak, that necessitates that the matn or the text of the or the statement of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam found in the hadith is weak as well. Rather, there can be numerous chains that show that the chains will become in strength, and there is strength. Therefore, that meaning of the hadith and the wording of the hadith may be deemed authentic, even if the isnad, the chain of narration, is found to be weak for that particular narration or report.
أما النوع الرابع الذي ذكره الإمام الذهبي فهو المطروح. والمطروح هو من حط عن رتبة الضعيف. من حط عن رتبة الضعيف وهو المسمى ضعيف جدا المعروف. المطروح هو الضعيف جدا الذي في إسناده راو متهم بالكذب أو اتفق الأئمة على طرحه وعدم قبوله فيسموه إيش؟ المتروك. إذا كان الإسناد فيه رجل متروك أي ضعيف جدا سمي الحديث مطروحا.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah now moves to the fourth classification, fourth category. After the da'if hadith, there is al-matruh, a hadith that is thrown or that it is abandoned. A matruh hadith is a hadith that is at the lowest level of the da'if. It is a hadith that is at the lowest levels of the da'if. And the reason of this, هو الضعيف جدا. It is the extremely weak hadith. The matruh hadith is the extremely weak hadith because here is the reason why it is deemed matruh. It is not deemed at that level of the other ضعيف hadith. The reason it is ضعيف جدا, extremely weak, because in the isnad, in the chain of narration, there is a person who is matruk, a person who has been abandoned. His narration has been rejected. A person whose narration is deemed matruk, to be abandoned and rejected, because he has been accused of lying. He has been accused of lying. When there is in the chain of hadith, a person has been accused of lying, that chain of that particular report is deemed abandoned, because someone has been disparaged and has been accused of lying, or because the a'imma, the scholars of al-jarh wa ta'deel, deem that that person is unacceptable. One, he has been accused of lying, or that the other, that the scholars who comprise the imams of al-jarh wa ta'deel show and prove that that person, he is to be deemed a person who is unacceptable for us to take narrations from him. Adam qabul riwayatihi. We are not allowed to accept his report or his narrations.
أما الحديث الآخر أو النوع الآخر فهو الحديث الموضوع. يقول الإمام الذهبي ما كان متنه مخالفا للقواعد وراويه كذابا كالأربعين الودعانية، وكنسخة علي الرضا المكذوب عليه. الموضوع أي المكذوب. فالحديث الموضوع هو الحديث المختلق المصنوع المكذوب على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عمدا، وقال بعض أهل العلم أو خطأ، يعني سواء هذا كان الكذب على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عمدا أو كذبا. قلت والأول هو المتفق عليه بين أهل العلم، أي الكذب عمدا لورود الوعيد عليه في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم المتواتر: من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. وأما الآخر فيتحرج بعضهم في إطلاق الموضوع عليه لعدم شموله الوعيد. فالخلاف في النتيجة وليس الخلاف في الحقيقة، فكل ما ثبت أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يقله فهو موضوع، سواء أكان عمدا أم خطأ، لكن العمد يلحقهم الوعيد الشديد، وما دون ذلك فلا والله أعلم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله moves us on to point number 5, the موضوع حديث, a hadith that is deemed موضوع, which can be liberally translated as a lie or a fabrication. A lie or a fabrication. The mawdu hadith is a hadith where the text, where the matn, the text of it, goes against the established norms of the Prophet's sayings, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mawdu hadith, the wording of the hadith itself, the words that are attributed to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are contrary to what we establish as knowingly establish as being the authentically known word of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or its reporters include liars. So the mawdu hadith is one that goes against the established normal statements of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are considered the norm of the statements of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the matn. As well, it can have in the isnad men who are known to be liars. It includes in the isnad known liars. The Shaykh explains by saying, it is a hadith that is mukhtalaq, meaning it is a hadith that is fabricated, and it is a lie, al-mawdu', and it is a lie about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is fabricated and placed where it should not be placed as being the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-makdhub ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is lied about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And this is important. The mawdu' hadith, a person may intentionally lie about the messenger, may intentional, amdan, fabricate something about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and others, they may not knowingly, unknowingly fabricate or narrate something that is a fabrication about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The scholars of hadith, some of them have stated either case, whether a person intends to lie or a person unknowingly didn't know, lied about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are both sinners. Yet, Al-Shaykh Abu Usama hafizahullah shows us that the evidence points to that the one who is lying intentionally, amdan, he is the one who is promised punishment. While the one who does it unintentionally, he is not given the same punishment as the former. Meaning, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kazaba alayya muta'ammidan," the one who lies about me or claims that I've said something about me, muta'ammidan, intentionally. So therefore the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam establishes intent. فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, let him prepare a seat and let him be ready for a seat in the fire.
So therefore, the punishment is for those who intend. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ As for those who have no intent, فَيَتَحَرَّجْ بَعْضُهُمْ Many of the scholars feel there is excuse that they are not to be included with those who are deemed, who are promised and threatened with punishment, as is found in the previous hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the mawdu' hadith is a hadith where the text, the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, contradict, go against, and oppose the norm, the words that are normally spoken and the concepts spoken by the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As well, its reporters may contain those whom the scholars of Al-Islam has established as being liars. Now.
أما الأربعين الودعانية المذكورة في الكتاب فهي لأبي نصر محمد بن علي بن عبيد الله بن أحمد بن صالح بن سليمان بن ودعان قاضي الموصل المتوفى سنة 494 جمع فيها 40 خطبة قال الإمام الذهبي في ميزان الاعتدال صاحب تلك الأربعين الودعانية الموضوعة ذمه أبو طاهر السلفي وأدرسه وسمع منه وقال هالك متهم بالكذب تبين لي حين تصحبت الأربعين له تخليط عظيم يدل على كذبه وتركيبه الأسانيد كتاب فيه 40 خطبة موضوعة
تفضل. The Sheikh حفظه الله continues reading to us from the text telling us that there are books and there were people who intentionally fabricated reports such as Al-Arba'een Al-Wad'aniyya. There is a person who was named Muhammad Ibn Ali Ibn Ubaidillah Ibn Ahmad Ibn Talih Ibn Sulaiman Ibn Wad'an. That this person, his name was Muhammad Ibn Ali Ibn Ubaidillah Ibn Ahmad Ibn Talih Ibn Sulaiman Ibn Wad'an. This man, there is a book that is attributed to him. It's called Al-Arba'een, the 40 Wad'aniyya, the 40 Wad'aniyya Khutab, lectures. In these lectures, he claimed that these are 40 lectures or sermons given or admonitions given by the Messenger Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in fact, he was a liar. Here, Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi states, this man, he is صاحب تلك الأربعين الودعانية الموضوعة. He is a man who is the originator and the one who originated the 40 ودعانية fabricated reports about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was disparaged and he was refuted by Abu Tahir as well as others who used to hear him and recognize that these words were words that were kadhib, lies attributed to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was a man who used to yakhlib. He would add from here and here and mix things together. And he was a person who instituted many fabrications from them, those 40 narrations attributed to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam falsely.
وَأَمَّا نُسْخَةَ عَلِي الرِّضَى فَهِيَ كَذَلِكَ نُسْخَةَ مَوْضُوعَةَ كما ذكرها أهل العلم كالإمام الذهبي في الميزان والقاري في المصنوع فهي نسخة موضوعة على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
As well, there is another book which is the Nusqa, the reports of Ali al-Rida, which are reports that are lied about the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ali al-Rida, that they were comprised of reports that were fabricated from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as has been stated by Imam al-Dhahabi and as has been stated by al-Qari and others from the scholars of hadith have shown that these specific books and these specific narrations, they collected them and they showed that they were fabricated and lies about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
يقول الإمام الذهبي وهو مراتب أي الموضوع مراتب منه ما اتفقوا على أنه كذب ويعرف ذلك بإقرار واضعه أي اتفق العلماء على أنه كذب محض على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن الرسول ليقوله في حال من الأحوال
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continued and said, the Mawdu hadith is of varying levels as well, as we have shown in the previous days, things are of previous levels. There is from it one level, or of the worst levels of the Mawdu hadith, those that are clearly explained and clearly known to be a Mawdu hadith, is مَتَّفَقُوا عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ كَذِبْ, that which the scholars unanimously, all of them in consensus, agree that that statement, that wording, that chain of narration is a fabricated statement or a fabricated chain of narration. The second, also from this, وَيُعْرَفُ ذَلِكْ, this is known, the scholars know for certainty that it is a lie, بِإِقْرَار, by the testimony and by the admission of the person who lied. The person who made this fabrication later on recants his words or comes clean with it and says, I have lied in this statement, this statement, this statement, and so forth. And this is the one level of the Mawdu Hadith where the scholars of Al-Islam unanimously agree that that particular chain of narration and that particular statement that is attributed to the Rasul ﷺ is kazib, is a lie. How do they know this level of the Mawdu Hadith? They know because the person who lied about the Rasul ﷺ comes forward and admits his lies and says, this are the things that I have lied about in this chain or in this text. Yeah.
ويعرف ذلك بإقرار واضعه أي أن يعترف الكذاب على نفسه بالكذب. قلت إقرار الواضع على نفسه يكون قالا أي بقوله أي أو بحاله. أما الإقرار بالقول فهو كاعتراف نوح بن أبي مريم أنه وضع في فضائل القرآن سورة سورة كما في كتاب الموضوعات لابن الجوزي.
The chef mentions, he explains to us the statement that the person admits having fabricated. This is also of different types of admission. Some didn't completely come forward and say here, here, and here. The chef gives us al-iqrar, this admission and this confession of wada, of fabrication, is something that can be by a declaration, he states it with his tongue, he says, I did this, or with his hal, with his external evidence, due to the external evidences that we gather about him, that we discover from his habits, from his deeds, that he was the one who had lied. So therefore the two types of admissions, one where he, the individual, declares it with his tongue, and the second is where we see all of the external evidences and the habits of that individual, that they all indicate that it was him, that it was he or she who was the person who lied about the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And therefore you can see this, those, for example, the Shaykh gives us the example of one man who actually came forward and said, I lied. Of them was a man who was named Nuh ibn Abi Maryam. Nuh ibn Abi Maryam, he was a person who came forward and said, I lied about this and this and this. In fact, he said, I placed a fabricated hadith in discussing the fada'il, the virtues of the Qur'an, for every surah. Every surah in the Qur'an, that person would narrate a fabricated hadith attributing a virtue to that surah that is unfounded from the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can find details about this in the book Al-Mawdu'at of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Jawzi. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Jawzi, his book Al-Mawdu'at, The Fabricated Narrations. He wrote a whole book titled The Fabricated Narrations. Al-Mawdu'at of Ibn Al-Jawzi, you can find details of Nuh ibn Abi Maryam and the narrations that he added to each of the surahs of the Qur'an as fabrications of their virtues.
أو الحال يعني حاله يدل على أنه كذاب وهو كان يحدث بحديث عن شيخ ثم يسأل عن مولده فيذكر تاريخا يعلم وفاة ذلك الشيخ قبله ولا يوجد ذلك الحديث إلا عنده فهذا لم يعترف بوضعه ولكن اعترافه بوقت مولده يتنزل منزلة إقراره بالوضع، لأن ذلك الحديث لا يعرف إلا عند ذلك الشيخ، ولا يعرف إلا برواية هذا الذي حدث به. مثلا كان يروي عن شيخ فيسأل عن وفاة الشيخ، فيسأل عن مولد هذا الراوي، فيقول مثلا سنة 1970، والشيخ قد توفي سنة 1950، فمن أين التقى به وسمع به؟ فيكون هذا بإقرار الحال، وأحيانا الحال أبلغ من المقال.
The second type or the second evidence that the scholars of Islam used, the scholars of hadith, to prove a person was a fabricator, someone who made the wada and made the statement and lie about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we mentioned first is that the person openly declares it. He says, I did this and said this. The second is by the condition or the habits of the individual. And this is how the scholars would discover this. One example, this is one form. The scholars would hear a person make a statement. They would hear him say, I heard on the authority of this shaykh, of this narrator, I heard on his authority that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or that he said all the way back that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this. They would then say to the person narrating, this fabricator, they would say to him, when were you born? And he would say, as the Sheikh says, I was born 1970, for example. This was the example the Sheikh used. The Sheikh then would say, the scholars of hadith know that the person he is narrating from was met his demise and returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 1950, 20 years before this person was born. So how could he have heard from him? So therefore they would say to him, by you admitting your year of birth, by him saying, I was born 1970, that is an admission implicitly that he did not hear from this person, and therefore he is lying and fabricating and inserting himself in this place, and therefore that narration is deemed as a mawdu'. The person is adding something and is lying about it in the chain of narration. Was that example clear enough? طيب.
ثم يقول وبتجربة الكذب منه، أي نجرب الكذب عليه ومنه ونحو ذلك. أما تجربة الكذب فكغياث بن إبراهيم مع المهدي الخليفة العباسي، لما زاد في حديث لا تبقى إلا في خف، زاد حديث أو جناح تزلفا للمهدي، فإنه كان يحب الحمام فأمر المهدي بذبح الحمام. هذه القصة، هذا الرجل كان من رواة الحديث، وكان المهدي العباسي يحب الحمام، يحب تطير الحمام. فمر يروي حديث الرسول عنده، وهو حديث صحيح لكن يزيد فيه زيادة كذب، يقول الرسول لا تبقى إلا في خف أو نصل أو حافر، يعني المسابقة تجوز في الخف يعني الجمال، أو النصل أي السهام، أو الحافر يعني الخيل، ولم يذكر الرسول شيئا آخر. فهذا حتى يزين للمهدي ما يفعل، وهي الحمام لا خف ولا نصل ولا حافر، الحمام جناح، فقال أو جناح، فزاد على حديث الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم جناح. فتفطن المهدي لهذا وقال له، أعطاه مالا، فلما خرج قال والله إني لا أعلم أن قفاك قفا كذاب، قفاك قفا كذاب، ثم أمر بذبح الحمام جميعا، لأنه كان سببا في وضع هذا الكلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا جرب عليه الكذب وهو لم يقر بالكذب، لكن عرف أنه كذاب، فهذه الزيادة موضوعة على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh gives you another example of such an occurrence wherein a person, another level of the mawdu' hadith, is that a person is discovered while committing that sin. He is
led into it, and he's exposed while making the wada, while fabricating the narration. We see this in the example of a person named Ghiyath ibn Ibrahim. Ghiyath ibn Ibrahim, he was a person who used to narrate hadith. He came to the Mahdi. Al-Mahdi was the Khalifa of the Abbasi period. He came to the Mahdi, who was the Khalifa of the Abbasi period. And he said to him, narrating a hadith, he says, the Rasul, which is a lie, we will tell you what the authentic hadith is. He said, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, racing or competition is permitted with camels, with arrows, with horses, and things with wings, and birds, things with wings. The hadith which is authentically reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, competition is valid only, or racing is valid only with camels, or competition with arrows shooting to see who is more precise in his shooting, and racing with horses. That is where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam ended his words. This man, Ghiyath ibn Ibrahim, he added winged animals. Why? Because Al-Mahdi was a person who was fond of raising pigeons. So he thought to himself, if I say winged animals, that'll bring me closer to the Khalifa and I will have a position. And in fact, it was true. Al-Mahdi called him forward and gave him some money, and as the person turned away and walked out the door, Al-Mahdi said, surely the back of your neck is the neck of a person who's a liar. He recognized that that person is a liar who is fabricating the hadith about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Al-Mahdi ordered that the birds be put to rest, and he never cultivated and never raised birds from that day, because it led to a person innovating and fabricating a hadith about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
هناك فروع وهناك مسائل على الباب. أولها المعنى الكتاب صفحة 114.
نعم. If you are following in the book, you can turn to page 114.
الأول قول ابن الصلاح رحمه الله في علوم الحديث, اعلم أن الحديث الموضوع شر الأحاديث الضعيفة ولا تحل روايته لأحد علم حاله في أي معنى إلا مقرونا ببيان وضعه بخلاف غيره من الأحاديث الضعيفة التي يحتمل صدقها في الباطن. أي أن الحديث الموضوع لا تجوز روايته البتة, لأنه لا يحتمل صدقه في الباطن, بعكس الحديث الضعيف الذي ربما جاء له شاهد أو متابع فصح أو ثبت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh says, now we are going to discuss some issues that are dealing with how we interact with mawdu' ahadith. What are mawdu' ahadith? How are we supposed to view them? The first point the Sheikh discusses with us is the statement of Ibn Salah in his book, Ulum al-Hadith, wherein he says, اعلم, have knowledge, that is based on certainty, have knowledge that a mawdu' hadith is the worst, is the most evil of all weakly reported narrations. The mawdu' hadith is the worst hadith that can be reported about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَحِلْ, and it is not permitted, it is prohibited to report a hadith of this nature, a mawdu' hadith of this nature, while knowing that it is mawdu'. It is a sin, it is prohibited for a person to report a mawdu' hadith knowing that it is mawdu', unless the person will report the hadith joining with it the bayan, the clarification and the proof as to why it is a fabricated hadith, or showing that it is a fabricated or a mawdu' hadith. This is different, he says, Ibn Salah says, this is different than narrating regular weak hadith. other weak hadith that are higher than this level, because there are weak hadith that we suspect internally, and we are searching for the proof and searching for witnessing chains, that we suspect internally that the hadith is authentic. While a fabricated hadith, we are certain it is unauthentic. While some weak narrations, they may rise to the level of hasan sooner or later, as the Shaykh explained, when there are witnessing chains and they may become strengthened. So here we see that a mawdu' hadith, the first issue is that if one knows that the hadith is mawdu', one is sure of it, he's not allowed to tell anyone and narrate this hadith to anyone unless he tells them this is a mawdu' hadith and explains it clearly. He has clarification regarding it, meaning bibayan wad'i, knowing and clarifying the source.